physics world.
Have you ever sat watching a really bad science fiction film and wondered why on earth it seems to break every rule in physics? You know, the films where a spaceship explodes with a massive bang, even though there can be no sounds in space. Surely there must be a way of combining decent movie plots with science that's more or less right. I'm Mateen Durrani, editor of Physics World, and in this podcast, I'll be talking to the cosmologist Sean Carroll from the California Institute of Technology, who, when he's not doing research, works as a science consultant to Hollywood. Carroll's worked on everything from Thor and Avengers Assemble to TV's The Big Bang Theory. And I started by asking Carroll how he first became a science consultant to Hollywood and what the job actually involves.
So what I actually do today is I'm a physicist, I'm a researcher at Caltech, but living in the Los Angeles area, you get to know people in the movie business, and so I've been fortunate enough to very frequently work as an informal consultant for either TV shows or movies. And it started very soon after I moved to Los Angeles. I was contacted by someone who works for Brian Grazer. Brian Grazer is the producer who works with Ron Howard. They've made, you know, A Beautiful Mind. They made the Dan Brown movies, Angels and Demons, The Da Vinci Code. And Brian Grazer is a sufficiently wealthy guy that he has enough money to employ one person for the sole purpose of finding interesting people for Brian Grazer to talk to. So he found me, and they wanted to talk about physics because in the movie Angels and Demons, one of the scenes is set at CERN, the great particle physics laboratory. And so I helped them understand what life is like at CERN, how you might make antimatter. Of course, there's many things in a movie like that that are unrealistic, but they really wanted to get, you know, as much science background as they could. And since then, I've gotten to chat with various people from various TV shows and different films.
So what's your formal role? Is it just talking to people and advising them, or do you actually get to fiddle with the script and adjust it?
You know, it all depends on the situation. That's one of the things you find is that there's very different stages in the life of a screenplay or a TV show. There's the stage where some writer has an idea and they're just messing with it and they want to talk to you. And there, you know, you can make up characters, you can make up scenes, you can make up plot. They don't want you to do too much because it's their project, but you can certainly suggest things that have a big impact. But for these gigantic movies, you know, like Thor or something like that, a multi-$100 million extravaganza, you're often brought in near the end. I've had meetings after all of the filming was done. And, you know, they had a scene and it was going to happen whether we liked it or not, but they wanted maybe some words to attach to it to make it sound a little more scientifically plausible. So it's all those and everything in between, you know, helping with dialogue in the middle, helping understand the mindset of a certain character, or maybe just drawing some equations on a blackboard.
Carroll's work as a Hollywood consultant certainly sounds quite a bit of fun, but I wondered if trying to ram science into a movie can ruin a storyline and script. In other words, how exactly can films benefit from having accurate science? Or does science just deaden a script and ruin a plot?
I think that it's important for science-oriented people to remember that the point is to tell a good story, to have an entertaining movie or TV show. It's not to be a science documentary. And I don't think that there are very many examples of films or shows where the science was so accurate or they were trying so hard that it became boring. That's usually not the problem. But my argument is that science is just a part of human life, just like law or police work or being a doctor or anything like that. And understanding it a little bit better, making it a little bit more realistic, helps you make a better TV show or movie. It helps make the drama more compelling because the audience is pulled into it and immersed. It doesn't seem fake. In the real world, scientists have personalities, just like other people. Some of them are good guys, some of them are bad guys. In the real world, science is a laborious, difficult process. It's not magic. And so understanding how some of that works just makes for a more realistic and ultimately a better dramatic performance.
So there have been some real turkeys in Hollywood, some really bad films that make real physicists absolutely wince. What's your day you name a really bad example for us that you really can't stand?
I mean, there's two that everyone mentions, actually. One is Armageddon, the Bruce Willis movie, where you're climbing around the asteroids trying to blow them up. And the other is The Core, where, you know, they dig down deep into the Earth. And in fact, I've met the guy who is the director of The Core, and he loves science, and he really would have liked to get it right, but sometimes the Hollywood process just doesn't let you get it right. Again, with a big movie, there's so many people involved, the screenwriters, the directors, the actors, the studios, the producers, who knows where it ends up sometimes. So at this point in my life, you know, I don't even really blame a bad movie for getting the science wrong. What annoys me more is where there's a missed opportunity, where there's something like, you know, the more recent Star Trek movies that J.J. Abrams has been making, where obviously you don't expect Star Trek to get the science absolutely right. There they are, flying faster than the speed of light all the time. But in the more recent movies, they don't even really try to explain some of the scientific notions behind the new techno stuff that they're getting introduced. And to me, that makes it a less rich and less fulfilling film experience. I think that, you know, there is an opportunity to build the world in a more realistic way that they chose not to take.
So do you have any particular favorite science fiction films that you can name for us?
There have been a lot of science fiction films recently that have either gotten science pretty right or, you know, said something nice about how scientists work. I mean, in terms of getting science right, Gravity is a great example. It's like 98% right, I would say. It's not 100% right. They certainly tweak the locations of certain things. But again, if the space stations were so far apart that you couldn't travel between them, there's no movie there. So what is the point of getting the science right? It would just be boring. But mostly, you know, they got it right about the sounds in space and the effects of zero gravity and so forth. There's an even better one called Europa Report, which is a small independent film about going to Europa, the moon of Jupiter, and looking for life there. That I definitely recommend if people can see it. And the other one, you know, I like to recommend a little bit different is Iron Man, which people have seen already. They've seen Iron Man, but it's not realistic scientifically. You cannot go into the middle of a cave with a blowtorch and build a flying suit of armor. But the whole middle of the movie, Tony Stark is using the scientific method. He's putting his technological genius mind to work in a fairly realistic way. He's doing experiments, he's building things, he's making plans. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And he's learning things that way. And actually, that's the kind of scientist I want to see more of in the movies.
So if you think you fancy a career as a science consultant to Hollywood, the bad news is it's not really the sort of thing you can do full time. In fact, Sean Carroll told me all he's ever earned from his consulting work is a sweatshirt and a bottle of wine. Still, advising Hollywood's probably more fun than writing research papers. And in Carroll's case, the work's even got him involved with that great TV comedy series, The Big Bang Theory. As Carroll explains, he got his foot in the door of that particular show because he knows The Big Bang's official science consultant, David Zaltzberg, from the University of California at Los Angeles. Carroll takes up the story.
At the very beginning, before they even filmed any of the first season, David brought in some of his friends, you know, one by one, to meet the writers so they could get to know some scientists. And so I got to meet all the writers, got to talk about what my everyday life was like. And since then, you know, I've emailed back and forth a couple times with the writers. I've donated my books, so my books have appeared on the desks of the characters. I even put a joke up once on Twitter that the producer, Bill Prady, asked if he could use in the show. So I got to go to a filming and meet the cast and whatever. And they're fantastic because they have no idea what they're saying when they're saying these technical babble words. But they're good actors. They make it seem realistic.
So which of the characters in Big Bang do you most identify with? I kind of guess Leonard, possibly, because he's a bit more streetwise, maybe.
That's right. You know, I think that it's not made very explicit, but one of the themes of the show is that Sheldon is perfectly happy being who he is, right? I mean, he's the most geeky and nerdy and intellectually, you know, inward-looking of all of them, whereas Leonard would like to fit in with the wider world a little bit better. So, yes, indeed, I would like to fit in with the wider world a little bit better, but I certainly appreciate some of Sheldon's annoyances from time to time.
That was Sean Carroll, cosmologist and science consultant to Hollywood. Thanks to him for letting us in on his work. And don't forget, to keep up with the latest news, features and opinion on physics, do visit our website, physicsworld.com. See you next time.
Physics World.